Chapter 6 Heroes. One morning, a letter came for the children. They didn't get many letters, so they were very excited. Roberta opened it. She read it to the others. Dear Sir and Ladies, I'm writing to you to thank you for what you did last week. Your bravery saved many lives. We would like to give you a small gift. Please come to the station at 3 o'clock on the 7th of August. We look forward to seeing you. Yours sincerely, J. Inglewood, the Great Southern Railway Company. The children felt very proud. They rushed to show the letter to Mother. That's wonderful news, she cried. I'll wash your best dresses, girls, and Peter's best shirt.
We can do that, said Roberta.
So the three children spent the morning at the big stone sink in the kitchen. As they washed and scrubbed and rinsed, they thought about the letter.
I wonder what the gift will be, said Peter.
He carried the basket of washing into the garden and they hung the clothes on the washing line.
It could be anything, said Phyllis. I've always wanted a baby elephant.
Don't be silly, Phyllis, said Roberta. Perhaps it will be a model of a steam engine.
Or a medal for bravery, suggested Peter.
Anyway, we must reply to the letter, said Roberta. We can use my best pink notepaper.
It took them a long time to write the letter, but at last it was finished. This is what it said.
Dear Mr. Inglewood, thank you very much for your letter and your kind invitation. We didn't expect a gift. We just wanted to save the people on the train. But we will come to the station at 3 o'clock on the 7th of August. Yours sincerely, Roberta, Peter, Phyllis.
When the great day arrived, the children put on their best clothes and went to the station. The station master came out of his office. He smiled at the children and led them to the waiting room. He's wearing his best clothes too, thought Roberta. There was a red carpet on the floor of the waiting room and large pots of pink roses stood on the window sills. Perks the porter was there, as well as several other ladies and gentlemen in smart clothes. Some of the passengers from the train were there too. Then they saw the old gentleman in his funny hat. Everyone shook hands and they all sat down. Then Mr. Inglewood made a long speech. He said that the children were very brave and that they had saved many lives. When he sat down, everyone clapped. Then the old gentleman stood up and made another speech. He told everyone that he was a director of the railway. Then he spoke very kindly about the children and gave each of them a gift in a blue leather box. Carefully, they opened the boxes and looked inside.
Gold watches, whispered Peter.
On long gold chains, added Roberta. What wonderful presents!
On the back of each watch it said, From the Great Southern Railway Company for Bravery. Then the station master whispered to Peter,
You must make a speech now.
He pushed Peter forward.
Ladies and gentlemen, he began.
He heard his heart beating very fast.
Ladies and gentlemen, my sisters and I would like to thank you for your kind words and for the beautiful gold watches. We shall look after them all our lives. But we didn't really do much, although it was very dangerous and exciting. And, well, thank you all very much.
Everyone clapped loudly and shook hands again. When everyone started to leave, Roberta went up to the old gentleman.
"Will you come and see us at Three Chimneys one day?" she asked. "I know our mother would like to meet you."
"I should love to," replied the old gentleman. Then the children ran up the hill to Three Chimneys, holding their watches tightly. At home, they showed them to Mother. She was very proud of her three brave children. A few days later, the children were sitting on the flat rock, looking down at the railway line. They saw the 5:21 leave the station. A few passengers set off for the village, but one of them started to walk up the hill.
"He's coming to Three Chimneys," exclaimed Peter. "Who can it be?"
"I don't know," said Roberta. "He's too far away. I can't see him clearly."
"Let's go and find out," suggested Phyllis.
They stood up and ran down the hill.
"It's the old gentleman,"
cried Peter breathlessly. And so it was. He was wearing a white waistcoat with gold buttons which sparkled in the sunlight.
"Hello,"
called the children.
"Thank you for coming."
"Hello,"
called the old gentleman.
"It's very nice to see you all."
They walked back up the hill to Three Chimneys, and the children chattered excitedly all the way. Roberta opened the door and led the old gentleman into the house.
"Mother, this is the gentleman who has been so kind to us," she said.
"It's lovely to meet you," said Mother. "I don't know how to thank you for being so good to me and the children."
"May I give the children a present?" asked the old gentleman.
"Of course," laughed Mother. He took three large pink and green boxes out of his bag and handed one to each child. Inside, they found lots of sweets and chocolates.
"Thank you,"
they said. Mother went to make some tea for them all.
"Now," said the old gentleman, "you must tell me all about yourselves."
So the children told him their names and how old they were and how long they had lived at Three Chimneys.
"We had to leave our old house in London," Roberta told him. "Father had to go away, but we don't know why. We are quite poor now. Mother writes children's stories to earn money."
After tea, it was time for the old gentleman's train. They all went to the station to see him off.
"Goodbye,"
called the old gentleman as he stepped onto the train.
"Goodbye,"
they all called. As they walked back up the hill, Roberta looked at her mother.
"You look tired, Mummy," she said. "Let me take your arm. Peter, take Mother's other arm."
They set off up the hill, with Roberta on one side of Mother and Peter on the other. Phyllis skipped along beside them.
"Father would like the old gentleman, wouldn't he?" she chattered. "It's so long since we saw him. I'm nearly 9 now. Will he think I've grown, Mummy?"
"I'm sure he will," said Mother, turning her face away.
Roberta pulled a face at Phyllis.
"Don't speak about Father,"
whispered Roberta in Phyllis's ear.
"Why not?"
asked Phyllis.
"I'll tell you later. Come on. I'll race you to Three Chimneys," she replied.
Together, the two girls ran off up the hill. A few days later, when Mother was writing in her room, Roberta took her a cup of tea. Mother's room was very simple, with just a table, a chair, and a small rug. But it was always full of flowers. The children made sure of that.
"Here's some tea, Mummy," said Roberta.
Mother put down her pen and turned to Roberta.
"Tell me, Roberta, do you think Peter and Phyllis are forgetting about their father?" she asked.
"No, of course not," replied Roberta. "I never hear them talking about him."
sighed Mother. Roberta stood on one leg and then on the other.
We do talk about him, she said.
But not to me. Why not? Asked Mother.
Roberta went to the long window and looked out at the distant hills. She didn't know what to say.
Come here, Roberta, said Mother.
Roberta walked over to Mother and she put her arm round Roberta's shoulders.
Try to tell me why, asked Mother.
Well, you are very sad because Father isn't here with us. When we talked about him, it made you even sadder, so we stopped.
Yes, it's true, said Mother. I am sad without Father. But there's something else. A terrible secret. I can't tell you what it is. But if you all forget him, that will be even more terrible.
This terrible secret, will it go on forever? Asked Roberta.
No, replied Mother. When Father comes home, it will all be over.
I wish I could do something to help, sighed Roberta.
You always help me, Roberta, said Mother. You all do. You don't quarrel as much as you used to, and you do lots of things for me. You fill my room with pretty flowers. You clean my shoes and make my bed. These things help me a lot. And now I must get back to work. Please don't say anything to Peter or Phyllis. That night, Mother didn't read to them. Instead, she told them funny stories about when she and Father were children. Soon, they were all laughing.